The word sensuous had the effect of further disquieting Tom, but before he could invent a protest, the coupe came to a stop, and Daisy signaled us to draw up alongside. "Where are we going?" she cried. "How about the movies?" "It's so hot," she complained. "You go. We'll ride around and meet you after." With an effort, her wit rose faintly. "We'll meet you on some corner. I'll be the man smoking 2 cigarettes. "Look, we can't argue about it here," Tom said impatiently, as a truck gave out a cursing whistle behind us. "You follow me to the south side of Central Park in front of the plaza." Several times he turned his head and looked back for their car, and if the traffic delayed them, he slowed up until they came into sight. I think he was afraid they would dart down a side street and out of his life forever. But they didn't. And we all took the less explicable step of engaging the parlor of a suite in the Plaza Hotel. The prolonged and tumultuous argument that ended by herding us into that room eludes me, though I have a sharp physical memory that in the course of it, my underwear kept climbing like a damp snake around my legs and intermittent beads of sweat raced cool across my back. The notion originated with Daisy's suggestion that we hire 5 bathrooms and take cold baths, and then assumed more tangible form as a place to have a mint julep. Each of us said over and over that it was a crazy idea. We all talked at once to a baffled clerk and thought or pretended to think that we were being very funny. The room was large and stifling, and though it was already 4 o'clock, opening the windows admitted only a gust of hot shrubbery from the park. Daisy went to the mirror and stood with her back to us fixing her hair. "It's a swell suite," whispered Jordan respectfully, and everyone laughed. "Open another window," commanded Daisy without turning around. "There aren't any more." "Well, we'd better telephone for an axe." "The thing to do is to forget about the heat," said Tom impatiently. "You make it 10 times worse by crabbing about it." He unrolled the bottle of whiskey from the towel and put it on the table. "Why not let her alone, old sport?" remarked Gatsby. "You're the one that wanted to come to town." There was a moment of silence. The telephone book slipped from its nail and splashed to the floor, whereupon Jordan whispered, "Excuse me." But this time no one laughed. "I'll pick it up," I offered. "I've got it." Gatsby examined the parted string, muttered, in an interested way, and tossed the book on a chair. "That's a great expression of yours, isn't it?" said Tom sharply. "What is?" "All this old sport business. Where'd you pick that up?" "Now, see here, Tom," said Daisy, turning around from the mirror. "If you're going to make personal remarks, I won't stay here a minute. Call up and order some ice for the mint julep." As Tom took up the receiver, the compressed heat exploded into sound, and we were listening to the portentous chords of Mendelssohn's Wedding March from the ballroom below. "Oh, imagine marrying anybody in this heat," cried Jordan dismally. "Still, I was married in the middle of June," Daisy remembered. "Louisville in June. Somebody fainted. Who was it fainted, Tom?"
"Biloxi," he answered shortly.
"A man named Biloxi. Blocks Biloxi, and he made boxes. That's a fact, and he was from Biloxi, Mississippi." "They carried him into my house," appended Jordan, "because we lived just 2 doors from the church, and he stayed 3 weeks until Daddy told him he had to get out. The day after he left, Daddy died." After a moment, she added, as if she might have sounded irreverent, "There wasn't any connection." "I used to know of Bill Biloxi from Memphis," I remarked. "That was his cousin. I knew his whole family history before he left. He gave me an aluminum putter that I use today." The music had died down as the ceremony began, and now a long cheer floated in at the window, followed by intermittent cries of "Yay!" and finally by a burst of jazz as the dancing began. "We're getting old," said Daisy. "If we were young, we'd rise and dance." "Remember Biloxi," Jordan warned her. "Where'd you know him, Tom?"
"Biloxi?"
He concentrated with an effort.
"I didn't know him. He was a friend of Daisy's."
"He was not," she denied. "I'd never seen him before. He came down in the private car."
"Well, he said he knew you. He said he was raised in Louisville. Asa Bird brought him around at the last minute and asked if we had room for him."
Jordan smiled. "He was probably bumming his way home. He told me he was president of your class at Yale." Tom and I looked at each other blankly.
"Biloxi?"
"First place, we didn't have any president.